The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
This is Jeremy, as in the write-up says, it's Jeremy and Kevin. So it's going to be Kevin on the other end. And we've got a lot to cover. We're going to give our take on the what were we going to talk about?
Oh, yeah. Rumble match itself, yeah. not the rest of the card.
Yeah, just the Royal Rumble match.
Since I only caught half of the card.
Well, and also, I mean, Dusty and Eric did a pretty good job of covering, the undercard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, why rehash something you've already listened to? So there's that. But then we're going to get into Raw and all the major happenings from, I guess we can save it, but it can't be really considered a surprising Raw since this is the time of year that the writers actually apply themselves. So, let's get to it. As everyone knows by now, Sheamus won the Rumble. It was 30 people. Obviously, the time frames were messed up because, well, that's what they do every year. Every 2 minutes. And, sometimes it's 5 minutes, it seems, and then sometimes it's 30 seconds. So it just,
Yeah, no, I can't be bothered. Like, the people that go through and actually time that horse shit, I'm like, oh, no, you can just go and fuck right off.
Yeah.
Like, I am not that interested in what time that they release the guys. If it's not 2 minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
The 10-second countdown is honestly what matters most.
Right. And as long as the action is, if the action dictates it, I don't see what the problem is either. Just, they don't stick to logic rules anyways. Why would they stick to actual, not physics. What is time?
Time?
Yeah. So, yeah. They don't stick to the laws of time as we've constructed them as human beings. All right. So, let's just start with the winner. Were you surprised at all?
No. No, because that's it on at Stunt Granny there. I kept on seeing all the entrants, and I'm like, no, like, it's just like, they're not going to win. 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 They're not going to win.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty much an entire roster full of people who weren't going to win.
Yeah.
No matter what you did. And it was an entire roster full of people who really weren't going to get over, really.
Yeah. And the thing that was weird to me is they made such a big deal out of wrestling on the card and then being able to wrestle in the Rumble, and you hadn't been able to do that before,
or recently, whatever.
I think they've done that before, but I think Dolph Ziggler was the only guy that wrestled earlier in the night.
Big Show.
Oh, Big Show.
As a surprise entrant, number 30, and it was, oh, is it The Undertaker? Is it Batista? Is it? Oh, it's Big Show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was about as unexciting a number 30 as I've ever seen.
Yeah, because, lately, we had Edge at number 30. John Cena was number 30 one year.
Coming back from his torn pec.
Yeah, so it was kind of – and I can't remember. They probably had some other ones, but offhand, I don't remember. And I'm not going to look it up because I'm too lazy to reach over and look it up. But
Yeah, I don't know if I have that wrestling site.
Yeah, but it was a giant disappointment. It was Big Show, and it's not his fault. I mean, that's the booking's fault for not having something really special planned. But yeah, I don't see why everyone was upset that Sheamus won or was surprised that Sheamus won. They had been building and building him all the months leading up to this. I mean, not months, but at least a month and a half. you know, and him always talking about, you know, I'm going to the Rumble, I'm going to win it. He's looked strong. He got beat him by Jinder Mahal the one time, then destroyed him, you know,
the subsequent month.
Yeah. So it was, he was the closest thing to having a hot run as you can get.
Yeah, no, and that's it. I thought that that was you who mentioned that you were surprised that he won or something like that. Because I ended up, because somebody did it on our account then. No one was fucking putting their initial at the end of it, so I have no fucking clue who to blame. But, yeah, no, that was probably...
I don't think it was.
the least surprising winner, honestly, because, yeah, like, I don't even think it's been the last month and a half. That guy, even though he hasn't had a feud, the crowd has been, pun intended, white hot for him. So, you know, it was no surprise. And it's just like, and that, this was the other thing I mentioned to, our good buddy Dan Keister. People bitch when they don't bring someone up to the main event level, and they finally bring someone up to the main event level. They're like, okay, you know what? We're going to crown this guy champ at WrestleMania. You know, I don't know too many baby faces, honestly, that have won the Rumble and then lost at WrestleMania.
Well, they said, yeah, baby faces, sure.
Yeah.
But heels, Edge actually did to Chris Jericho a few years ago, remember?
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I'm terrible at these things sometimes, is my memory is just completely shot and like, who won what.
Yeah, I mean, that was the most recent, at least.
Okay. Yeah, no, I remember it now that you mention it. But
yeah, the baby faces don't usually lose. And I guess, you know, I think the odds-on favorite for most people, because, you know, they read the internet a lot, I think they know everything. Since it was in, what was it, St. Louis, right? That's where Randy Orton was from.
Right.
So, Randy Orton's going to win. Well, I guess. And, you know, and honestly, all the reports of how it was like a last-second decision for Sheamus to win, and, you know, they were bouncing around different names who was to win, and this and this and this. And, you know, if Randy Orton would have won, everyone would have been bitching because he won, going to what you said.
Yeah.
Like, no, he didn't need it, and this and that. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, no, that would have been the funny thing, is that Orton wins. It's like, oh, well, yep, they had to go with the hometown guy. Just like, oh, go fuck yourself. I know I've used that one already, but, you know, it's just like, you know, when you can't be happy with any outcome, it's like, well, I don't know what to say at that point, you know? Yeah, I was in no way shocked. Like, he really, outside of CM Punk, to me, he's been getting the biggest pops out of anyone.
Yeah, John Cena's still a mixed bag, but yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, when Sheamus won, you didn't hear anyone that was upset. There weren't boos in the crowd. I mean, most of the time, and I guess this is the pratfall or pitfall of what we do, having to pay attention to everyone. I mean, everyone complains, just like you're saying, just everyone complains about it. And I don't know. The regular crowd, this is something I always bring up when we do this sort of thing, the regular crowd is not the internet crowd. The mass audience they are going after is not the dwindling internet audience that thinks that they should be catered to all the time, or thinks that, you know, this is how I want it done this way. And if you don't do it my way, then you don't know what you're doing, or you're, you know, not making money, or you're not doing this. And the whole thing is, well, they still are making money. And come WrestleMania, they're going to be making a shitload of money all over again.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it still kind of goes back to that. I would think that if maybe they did things in a slightly more logical manner, it would help out.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
And I guess that was why it was so weird, because there could have been a lot of people to win this year. Like, usually it's just like, okay, there are like 4 to 6 guys that you're just going to say, okay, they've really been pushing these guys. you know, I expect one of them to win. But I don't know, you know, if they've really been pushing anyone aside from Sheamus, honestly. Like, Randy Orton's good. I don't think Wade Barrett is ready.
Not yet. If he would have won, then I could see people complaining, because as much as they're pushing him in that feud with Randy Orton, he's still not at that point yet. The crowd's still not hating him enough, because I don't think they buy into him being legitimate.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's because I guess I was just trying to rattle off some of the other guys that I thought even had a vague chance of pulling it off. And he's definitely on the short list. You know, it seemed like a lot of people wanted Jericho to do it, but, you know, why does he need to win it? And why should he win it after pulling off the act that he's pulled off? Like, that to me seemed like an odd, that would have been like an odd choice. And he's always been very good at putting people over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, it's just like, okay, like, if you want to have one last person in there and to make the guy look kind of legitimate, even though it's not like a pinfall kind of a situation.
Right.
You know, have him beat an old veteran that you know is dependable and can get his heat back.
And I think that was the thing to me, is they did it again where the last 10, 15, or the last 10 was just a one-on-one match. And a lot of, like, you know, is he or isn't he? Over the top, or like over the top, or isn't he going to be eliminated? And I thought the right guy to have in was someone like Jericho, like what you said, the veteran guy. I mean, maybe if it was Sheamus and Randy Orton, it would have been different. Two baby faces, but that would have been disaster for Sheamus to toss him out unless they want him to turn heel or something, which would be even a bigger mistake.
Despite his horrendous Irish stories.
Well, yeah, and I'm sorry, I need to back up for a second. It wouldn't be a mistake to turn him heel, but right now, no. He's a better heel than he is a face. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, so, but if this is the course they're going to go with, then they positioned it decent. Unless it was Wade Barrett and him, I'm trying to think of another heel. Kane, maybe?
Who, you know, didn't come out.
Oh shit, that's right. He wasn't in this match, was he?
Uh-uh.
That's right.
Yeah, no Kane, no Cena.
Punk wasn't in it.
No. I mean, there's no reason for the champs to be in it. No Punk, no Daniel Bryan.
Mark Henry wasn't in it.
Yeah.
He's clearly hurt the way he was just walking around or walking. Yeah, that's actually exactly what he was doing. But yeah, so now I know Dusty and Eric didn't like the Rumble at all. I actually enjoyed watching this. I guess I wasn't concentrating on the booking aspect, but I think what Eric brought up that he and I were talking about was, like, people were complaining the announcers were in it. All right. Well, they did it for moments of levity. And I know Dusty didn't like that that it was just dumb comedy. Well, how can you have a smart comedy in a battle royal? How can you have smart comedy in battle royal?
Wow, I think that you're even going too specific. How can you have smart comedy in wrestling?
Well,
I'm not exactly expecting Arrested Development when I turn on wrestling.
Yeah. If you're looking for highbrow comedy in a wrestling event, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not looking for Louis when I fucking turn on Monday Night Raw.
Right. But I think another thing, though, is we and I was actually talking to Dusty about this today. We forget the audience is no longer our age group. When you're critiquing this thing, it'd be like going to a children's movie that's not Disney.
What, a Pixar movie?
Well, no, that's Disney.
Okay.
I don't know. Red Riding Hood, I guess. I think that was one.
I don't know. I don't know. Is this new crappy movie that The Rock's in a Disney movie too?
Well, that was going for animation, but that works too. That movie is not for us. So you cannot go to this movie. And remember, I'm the one that used to review movies, and it's very hard to do this. But you can't go to that movie and go, well, that movie sucked. All the humor was lame. It wasn't smart, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not 10. So of course I'm going to find this shit lame. I mean, it's like a kid. You know, I can't, you know me, I just can't stand this. Like, a little kid tells a joke and everyone's like, oh, that's so cute. No, it's not. It's fucking terrible. But for another kid, it's funny. For their audience, this comedy works. As they get older, they're probably going to progress and get away from it and then start the cycle all over again. So when we no longer watch, we'll have no idea this is happening. I mean,
that is true.
You understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah. And I mean, I guess that's why I've always tried to qualify when we're ripping on this stuff that, you know, I still think that, you know, you can do adult or you can do children's stuff and still have adults enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I know it wasn't that long ago that I enjoyed Shrek. I mean, I know I'm a little bit older than when it came out, but I thought it was funny. I mean, it's a kid's movie.
But Shrek also had some of that adult humor tossed in that kids wouldn't get.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think that they seem like they're loosening the reins up a little bit in the PG department. And, you know, that might end up helping out.
Well, yeah. And I think, real quick, to back up just a little bit, what I said right there was that, you know, it's that it had stuff for adults to laugh at. WWE is not that sophisticated.
Oh.
Therein's the problem. They don't know how to put that stuff for the adult while having that stuff for the kids. I mean, look at some of their characters. CM Punk is clearly made for the older audience, while John Cena's made for the younger audience. And they haven't found that balance yet because they're just not sophisticated enough to do this sort of thing. And I mean, I guess we could sit here and bash it and say, "Oh, it sucks" and all this. Well, it does, but it is what it is. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I guess I don't know. I got a kick, somewhat out of a kick, only because I couldn't believe they were doing it. The Cobra and Sacco.
Right.
It's when they pulled that out. I was like, are they really going to do this? But then they always have these little segments in the matches now. I mean, the one that comes to mind immediately is Rikishi doing his dance. Or it was all of Too Cool, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they tossed everyone out and they did the whole dance routine while they were waiting for the next entrant to come out.
Yeah. And then didn't Rikishi get rid of both of them or something like that? And I think he immediately dispatched both of them.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because, I think those two knuckleheads ended up dancing up the aisle way then afterwards. Because he kind of gave them the, sorry, dudes, like, shoulder shrug. and they're like, okay. They just kind of went on their merry way. Yeah, no, I mean, I could have used less comedy in that match. Like, it's fine having some comedy in there, but they seem to go a little above and beyond the Call of Duty.
They could have taken that out, and I don't care. I'm not a big Santino fan anyways. The one bit they could not have taken out, though, was Ricardo.
Oh.
That was such a surprise, because I was the one that tweeted, the Royal Rumble reminds me of all the wrestlers I don't miss. And that was Alberto Del Rio was coming up next. Then all of a sudden his music went off. And I was like, wait a minute, he's back already? And then that Dotson pulls out or whatever it was. And he gets out dressed like a baby, basically. It was so weird. It was just uncomfortable. And then who did he eliminate? Justin Gabriel, right?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, and then Santino eliminated Ricardo, I believe. But just his celebration, I mean, Mick Foley being patronizing to him, it was just funny. So they could have taken everything else out but that, and I'd be fine with it. But what other comedy bits were in there? I don't...
Really only one of the three announcers was, like, pure comedy. I mean, not that I thought that Lawler or Booker T was going to win the match, but the only real comedy guy in there is Cole, since he had to put on all of his ring gear and everything.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about that real quick. Michael Cole didn't realize Lawler was wearing tights, and Booker T was wearing panties. I mean, but you know, that's one of those things. It's just like, what? Now, I mean, unless he would have made mention, well, you know what? They told us to be ready. You know?
Yeah.
But they all seemed to know that they were in it. I mean, Michael Cole obviously going, well, who's next? I got a pretty good idea. And then it was his turn.
Yeah, no. Well, Lawler wears his tights down to the ring an awful lot. Like, I'm not saying that he does it all the time, but he'll be down there. I'm like, really, dude? Like, when he isn't even wrestling.
That's true. He does have it on sometimes. That's true. But now, but Booker didn't have fucking pants on.
Yeah, now Booker T is a different animal. That guy's always in a nice sharp suit, and all of a sudden he doesn't have pants on. And
yeah.
Michael Cole really should have noticed that.
I mean, I'm not expecting to be sneaking looks at his package, but for Christ's sake, dude. You know.
Yeah, there's a difference between pants and trunks. A big difference.
Now, the one moment that I enjoyed the most, and this is another thing that I think what Eric and Dusty were going for, and Dusty more importantly, we were discussing today, was that they could have given that part, they could have done something different with the talent. They could have done something different with the talent involved. And I do agree with that. They could have done that.
Yeah, no, there was no reason that they couldn't have used those other random spots that they used. As nice as it was to see Road Dogg or whatever, and they definitely got a pop out of it, you know, it would have been better if they had used, and I think Eric and Dusty mentioned this on their review, like Tyler Rex. You know, they're both getting tossed. Why not expose you to someone that potentially should be on your undercard somewhere?
Okay. Here's the problem you run into, though. And I'm going to use the example of Tyler Rex only because it was mentioned. And if he comes in and tosses eight guys, regardless of who they are, everyone's going to be bitching going, what the hell was Tyler Rex doing in there, let alone doing anything? This is a guy who doesn't even make superstars sometimes. So if you're going to give that spot, I guess Ezekiel Jackson, but he's Ahmed Johnson, basically. I don't know, he's, you know, because he's black and he has red tights on. But it's the same shit. I mean, it's not like they've got that one guy where if they just gave a bunch of time to him and let him do this stuff, he's instantly going to get madly over. At least I don't see it on that roster where that person exists.
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean, I wasn't saying that I expected Tyler Rex to toss eight people.
But I'm just
expect him to toss anyone. I don't think the Road Dogg tossed anyone.
Yeah. No, the Road Dogg did his usual thing. Did you notice?
Yeah, he did the shimmy and everything.
No. Yes, but the important part you're missing is he grabbed the bottom rope and got out of everyone's way for most of the match. Because remember, that's what he used to do all the time.
Oh, okay.
And that was hilarious. It was like the Edge coffee break during the Rumble. That was his thing.
Yeah.
But there's no one on that roster. Mason Ryan is a doofus. He's a goof. He's not going to get over. He's goofy. Unfortunately, he's Welsh, right? He's got that really thick accent. He has horrible hair. He's inflated. I mean, you can't you use him, and everyone goes, oh, wow, Mason Ryan threw a bunch of people out. No one cares, because no one cares about Mason Ryan. Even when he showed up the first time, no one cared. They cared because they thought it was Batista at first.
Right.
There's just no one single person on the roster that if he did something spectacular, anyone would remember.
Okay. You were moving on to a different kind of a topic than I was. I guess that's why I got confused when you're talking about Tyler Rex tossing eight people.
Okay. Well, no, what I was getting at was they had that moment, but because it was a woman, no one liked it or no one's talking about it, and that was karma showing up.
And that was really kind of bizarre too, honestly. that you have her show up and then Beth Phoenix comes almost out of the ashes, honestly. Mm-hmm. Pun again intended. But yeah, she shows up for the undercard and then she shows up on Raw for the first time in Lord only knows how long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, all right, first, we'll get to that Raw part in a second, but the Karma thing was the surprise, was the special moment. She got in there, Michael Cole avoided her, and which was actually a recall from when Michael Cole was bagging on the Divas all the time. But because it was so long ago and everyone's attention span is forgotten by now, that's what that was. That's why Michael Cole was scary. It would have helped to have announcing, you know, fresh in everyone's memory, but they didn't. So that was a recall to that. Having Dolph Ziggler come in, get on her case, she gives him the implant buster.
Right.
Okay, or whatever they call it.
Yeah, and I then, think they call it that.
And then who was it? Was it Epico? She threw out of the ring?
Yeah, she tossed him with a quickness.
Yeah. So, but then, of course, Dolph Ziggler gets his revenge and tosses her. So, you know, he saves face or whatever. But I guess if she would have implant busted more people, then fine. But then everyone would bitch because it was a chick beating up on everybody else and just blah, 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 blah. No one's happy about anything. But that was your monster moment. I mean, no one knew she was coming back. No one knew she even had a kid. You remember the abortion and miscarriage jokes were going on Twitter when she popped up?
No.
I mean...
yeah, and I forget when I did the math on that. Ooh, woof.
It was December 30th, I think she had the kid. His name is Jamie, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I guess because it's a WWE diva, and... You know, it's like, whatever, they don't use the divas right, and this and this, and, you know, because women's wrestling's always captured and brought in so much money that they should be the focal point of everything, and given 15-minute matches on pay-per-views, and, it's exhausting. But to go to Raw now, and this goes back to the Rumble, yeah, Beth Phoenix did come out of nowhere and looked, and I thought that was weird at the Rumble when... She just tagged herself in really hard, gave the, God damn it, whatever her finishing maneuver is.
Glam slam.
That's it. Thank you. Gave the glam slam to Kelly, pinned her very, very harshly, left the ring and like told her, get out of my ring, and acted like a badass, like she always should. And then all of a sudden Karma shows up and is like, okay. So they're setting up WrestleMania now. All right. Good, because that's where that match should be.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and that's about it. That's the only reason Beth Phoenix is making a comeback all of a sudden. So.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, yeah, no, they could. Well, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, the Rumble served its purpose. It gave us three matches, or three or four matches, depending on how you want to look at it. And they carried over into Raw. With Sheamus, if this plays out and Sheamus wins. Keeps his shot because, you know, they like playing with that sometimes.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be under threat at least.
Yeah. I mean, you got to figure he's going after Daniel Bryan.
I you know what? In my humble opinion, in the Almost Live, definitely half-assed review of Raw, which really should have changed its name because I watch half of it live. I don't know. I think that Brian's going to lose it in the meantime.
Okay. With Sheamus being a face, though, who's he going to who can he lose it to?
I don't know. And just as those words were coming out, that thought was popping into my head.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really – like, Mark Henry would be ideal. But if they keep on trotting him out there when he's injured
– Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just a nagging injury, it's just like, let the guy rest up. And I think that'd be a pretty solid match. It's obviously not going to be the main event, but oh, geez. Well, I guess that isn't usually the main event. It's usually just a match on the card, isn't it?
Right. Well, I think if they would have done more with Daniel Bryan in the meantime, I mean, it's still fluky win after fluky win. And Raw, though, you know, kind of started lending some credo to him, you know, giving him some cred when he's taken it to CM Punk for most of the match. So.
Yeah, well, and Dusty and Erica described it perfectly. It just is really, really weird when the heel announcer is going against a heel character and the babyface announcers are going for a heel character.
Mm-hmm.
And they barely started to change that with Michael Cole liking it. And the sad thing was, is Jerry Lawler just says to him, he goes, "That's what you normally like about a guy."
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, yep, it is. Like, he's rattling off why he hates Daniel Bryan, and it's every reason why he likes every other heel.
Yeah, but then, and they, I'm not sure, I don't think they were talking about the Rumble. I think they were talking about the Rumble still, but Michael Cole last night on Raw all of a sudden, no, Eric brought it up, yeah. Michael Cole all of a sudden, mid-match it seemed, or mid-show, excuse me, all of a sudden was a Bryan or Daniel Bryan fan.
Yeah, no, it pretty much was mid-match. It was like after the commercial break was when he started to bring that stuff up.
Yeah, and, you know, Lawler starts making the banana joke, and it was like, did Vince finally start paying attention to the commentary? And go, because Vince, I mean, I know it's an easy, like, blanket statement to make. McMahon does know what he's doing. It doesn't mean
he's going to get it right all the time.
No, I'm sorry. He does know what needs to be done. It doesn't mean he's going to do it all the time. Just for whatever reason. You know, if he wants to play games with people. That's why John Laurinaitis didn't wear sleeves at the pay-per-view. They were goofing on him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the petty shit like that that is true about, you know,
Vince.
McMahon.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Just kill the momentum by taking a drink in the middle of a statement.
Well, no, it was something else. But no, it, yeah, I did. Sorry. I have Tosh.0 on in the background, and they're doing a bunch of people T-bowing.
Oh.
And,
yeah.
Well, this chick walked out of an abortion clinic. Oh, what a dick. All right. But yeah, but it's like he just realized, all right, holy shit, we've got our heel announcer not liking the heel champion. All right, just forget everything you've done, and which is what they do on a moment's notice almost all the time anyways.
Yeah, well, and that was kind of the oddball thing about that, though, is that he started to say he liked him, but then he started to kind of bash him again. It's just like, oh, my Lord, just make up your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they really need to come to that epiphany moment where Michael Cole all of a sudden just goes, you know what? I didn't like you at first. Or I didn't like this guy first, but he's won me over. He's proven to me and this and this and this. That's all he needs to do.
Yeah, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, and even have Daniel Bryan come and sit on commentary and have Mitchell go, you know what, Daniel? I'm man enough to say I was wrong about you. And that will piss people off. And have Daniel Bryan go, you know what? I was wrong about you, too. You're a better announcer than JR ever was. Instant heat. Everyone hates him.
Yeah, no, that's a win-win on both ends.
It's too easy. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens though.
Oh, okay. You still think? Well, I mean, yeah, it can happen anytime, honestly.
Yeah. Well, because here's my thing with WrestleMania this year, and it goes back kind of what I was saying. They've got what I consider to have the matches, four matches already: Rock, Cena,
yep,
Zack Ryder, and Kane. I get the feeling they'll actually worm out Zack Ryder until after Elimination Chamber. And then he'll come back, and that gives Kane something to do immediately. Because what does Kane do now, you know?
Yeah.
Then you've got Beth Phoenix and Karma. Oh, shit, I forgot.
Jericho and CM Punk?
Oh, Jericho, CM Punk, I figure. and then all right, five, and then Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. I know the Elimination Chamber gets in the way because a champion always loses somewhere in that, so they got to figure out how someone to get it back. But WrestleMania has its main event. It's had its main event for a year. Oh, and now it looks like it'll be Triple H and Undertaker. So you have six matches already. But they've already got that top match, the one everyone's going to pay for. Okay?
Yep.
Do you really think having Sheamus take on some other solidified champion is going to get more buys that way? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's why I was like, oh, he gets the main event. Oh, never mind. He's going to be like... They're going to be so far down on the, both of the championship matches. They're going to be so far down on the card that it's not going to matter one shit.
But see, I don't. I'm of the idea now though that, you know, they've got the huge match. And you know how they do that experiment run? Yeah, I guess they're going to have a Money in the Bank match, so you can tie up Wade Barrett, Randy Orton, if you want to put Randy Orton in there. But they could also drag out Wade Barrett and Randy Orton. If they want to do it, because your undercard, this is one of those rare WrestleManias where the undercard to me doesn't matter as much. Because they're looking at a huge buy rate already by having The Rock and John Cena. So you can, you know, we were talking about that experimental phase a few weeks ago.
Right.
Why not continue it? Have Daniel Bryan the champion still with Sheamus. You've got 2 months to pump him up. Pump his ass up. And then you can have CM Punk and Chris Jericho. You know, if that's what they decide. You know, there's no reason to take the belt off anybody because there's no championship match as your main event.
Correct, sir.
So, I mean, and it's not like you're going to have a fucking tag team match, like title match on there. You know... Everyone wants, like, you know, change and change and change. Well, here it comes. And I think this is their opportunity to do it. And the show's usually, what, 4 hours now? So.
Yep, yeah. They got plenty of time.
Yeah. But, I don't know, that was just a thought that came up to me. It's like, why does anybody have to lose a title? Why can't Daniel Bryan and Sheamus face off against each other? I don't know. I mean,
that's a very good point. Like because I even mentioned that in the blog last night. I'm like, well, looks like CM Punk is keeping the belt at the Elimination Chamber, like because there's no reason to have him lose, and then him lose it to Jericho, and you know, and then have them fight for it at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, I wouldn't see any purpose in that, honestly.
Right. Now, I mean, unless they decide that they're going to do some goofy, you know, outside interference in an Elimination Chamber match, and the belt gets held up, or, you know, this and that, blah, 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 whatever. But for a four-hour show, I mean, what, the matches lasted, what, 15 minutes maybe last time besides that? Plotting Triple H Undertaker match?
Well, it kind of depended. You know, some of the not bigger ones, and I'm not even talking about the Divas match. You know, I think a couple of the earlier ones were like 10 minutes. Of course, we also didn't know that Edge was on his way into retirement.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think his matches, him and Del Rio, were only about 10 minutes last year.
Yeah. But no, they have a unique opportunity to do whatever they want this year and still get people to buy. Because, I mean, isn't it obvious this thing's going to do over 1 million buys just because of The Rock and John Cena? I mean, it's done over 1 million buys with John Cena and the fucking Miz as the main event, you know?
Oh, last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't. I mean, they're going to get a bunch of mainstream publicity just because of The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And if they... you know, decide to bring in the random person, you know, the random, they've had some type of celebrity recently, so.
Yeah. You know,
if they decide to bring in some random celebrity, they got even more star power. So yeah,
because they always bring in some other damn celebrity, right? So
yeah,
but yeah, I don't know it, but yeah, I mean, I guess we got away from Raw for a little bit, but it kind of ties back into it. I mean, last night's Raw set the stage for a lot. Let's start real fast. Your initial reaction to the Undertaker or Triple H? And which I called, so. I
mean, yeah, no, I kept on making note of that. I'm like, hey, at the beginning of the call, I'm like, hey, by the way, if it happens tonight, Jeremy called it. I'm just
and
saying.
I actually meant to mention that on the audio last week. Because as soon as they mentioned Triple H, I was like, well, why the hell is Triple H appearing out of nowhere? And I was like, it's right after the, oh, here comes the Undertaker. But yeah, so.
Yeah, no, my initial reaction to kind of go back to your question there is nobody else to me on that roster has the air of a legitimate threat to the Undertaker streak. Like, Triple H is the only guy to me, again, that can sell that streak. Like, that's kind of getting to be the hard part, really, is selling the streak now that it's actually in jeopardy. Like, I don't know how you could say, oh, CM Punk's going to break the streak. Like, seriously, this guy was just getting jerked around and has only been maybe the top babyface for less than a year, 9 months or something. You know what?
I was thinking. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what are you gonna do? Is Sheamus gonna threaten the streak right now? Like, no. Like, he is not nearly over enough to go, oh yeah, yeah, he's kind of credible. Like, as much as I didn't like the match last year, I just don't think there's anyone else there. And plus. The other initial reaction, which was Triple H walking away from it, which, you know, that adds a level of intrigue to it to me. Not that I don't think the match is – I mean, the match is still going to happen in my eyes, but at least they're doing something a little bit different.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of the end? You know, Undertaker comes out clearly is like, all right, Let's do this again, or let you know, WrestleMania, you and me again. What'd you make of the back, like the pat on the back and just kind of walking off of Triple H? I'm just curious to hear your theory on it.
Well, no, that is because I mean, just before that, he was saying I was letting personal problems get in my way, and the board feels like I've gotten rid of those. Well, how can that not be a personal problem? You know, like, he's like, okay, you know what, he's challenging me, but if I want to keep my spot as the Raw GM, I've got to walk away from this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was my thought to that little part there.
Okay.
Just like,
so that's it.
Sorry, dude, like, I just got done saying that I've got to walk away from this.
Yeah. Okay, see, I personally didn't... I know I didn't take that into consideration, so I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention, or I was tired, probably, probably both. I took it as Triple H patting him on the back, like, no, you don't, like, nice try, and walking off, kind of like dismissing him, like, look, I already did this, and I'm not doing it again.
Right.
Because you know, Triple H, even though he's like he lost, and I still remember those guys complaining that such an epic an epic match ended like that. You know, the two guys that were walking out last year.
Oh.
And we were like, shut up, dickhead.
Yeah, that was the only good part of the match. Shut the hell up.
Yeah. I still want to go back and listen to that match with Jim Ross calling it to see if it changes my opinion. I still have not done that yet. That's the only thing that's saving me from seriously saying everyone's fucking wrong. but no, I just took it as Triple H just like kind of being pandering to him. It's like, whatever.
Oh.
And because you can use that submission as an out and go, look, I made one mistake and you and I both know you weren't going to win. If I don't make a mistake, I beat you. How about you just take your streak and that's it? You know, you don't want any part of this. Now, but also I think your theory is probably more likely. You know, him saying the personal issues thing, which is smart actually. So, yeah. Before we move on to something else, Undertaker's wig was glorious.
Oh, you know, that was the other funny thing is I started reading about his weave, and that must have been something that I wasn't paying attention to because I was just like, oh, did it look that bad? Like, yes. I was like, it looked like the same bad stringy hair he's always had. Like,
no, it didn't. Oh, no, okay. No, dude. He's got stringy ass hair. That stuff had like some full body to it. It was awful. Oh boy, I was just laughing. Like, are you kidding me? Because I caught it this morning because I fell asleep. So I woke up when I saw him in the ring together. I was like, fuck him, I don't care. Which, if anyone wonders, if I'm doing the Twitter review and I suddenly stop, I usually got tired and just stopped watching Raw. So. But yeah, so there's the wig was quite a nice surprise. Which is, I don't understand why he thought he would be able to grow his hair out to that length in 1 year. Or less than a year, actually. After shaving it all off.
When did he shave it off?
Almost immediately after WrestleMania last year. Yeah, he was totally bald.
Oh.
Yeah, you never saw the pictures?
I swear you guys go to site. Well, yeah, like you guys troll around for more wrestling news than I ever do, I think. It's just like, yeah, we've gone to ZimbabweWrestling.com and I found this news site. Like, you send me links and I'm like, who is this? Like, what the fuck? I didn't realize that Outback Wrestling had a great site to go to find out news about the bald Undertaker.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I have nothing for you. I'm like, yeah, well, you're right. But yeah. So, and then we get
Really, there is no way in hell you can grow that long. I mean, that took for me to grow out my hair that long. It took me like 5 years or something like that.
Hang on, I'm getting you a bald Undertaker picture for your perusal.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but I mean, you're right. Like, I guess I didn't realize that he had went shaved bald. Like, it wasn't at the wedding or anything, was it? Or did they get married before?
That was last year. It was before.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll find it here sooner or later. Of course, it's amazing. These Google searches and shit just crack me up. Because you go, like, I'm looking for bald Undertaker. And there's the picture of a bald Justin Bieber. What the hell? There's one has nothing to do with Paul Orndorff, Kurt Angle. It's like, what are you guys doing? But anyways, it's not exactly the greatest picture, but he definitely doesn't have hair. But yeah, moving on to the CM Punk. They spent a lot of time with John Laurinaitis. And him in the beginning. And,
oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah. And it was really just another rehash of the same shit they keep going over. And Punk trying to get the Nana Nana chant going was just like, oh, brother, stop. It's like, and I think I put on Twitter, like, Agent of Change is out doing the exact same thing again. So I'm ready for that to move on to something else. And they gave us, you know, Punk and Daniel Bryan. And boy, that was a fun 15 minutes or 10, 15 minutes while it lasted, man.
That was a very good match.
Yeah. And again, people were upset the way it ended. What did you think was going to happen? what in your wildest dreams, what was going to happen? Big Show was going to come down and attack Daniel Bryan or Mark. I mean, or Punk was going to pin him clean or Daniel Bryan's going to. No, it's the Ring of Honor marks who are just annoying fucks. And like, oh, they shook hands. Look, it's Ring of Honor. Oh, Christ, shut up. I don't know. It's just no one's happy about anything, I guess. And I guess I'm becoming one of them, but in a totally opposite way. But no, it was a good 15-minute match. Jericho interrupting, which I called on Twitter also, made sense. And the fact that Daniel Bryan was celebrating his victory is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't stop laughing when they were showing him, like, kind of pumping his fist. And
dude, when, I don't know, saying that. It just cracks me up whenever he does it. I mean, he comes out and he treats it like an indie wrestler trying to work the crowd. And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But no one's getting the joke. That's what he's doing. He's making fun of the indie wrestler stuff. It's like cheap stuff. And
yeah, I think that was one of the weirder things about them. They're like, oh, he's celebrating all Eric and Dusty. Like, he's celebrating all these all these cheesy wins, and I'm like, yeah, no, that's the point. Like is it so obvious that you're missing what they're doing? Like, he's trying to rub in something that he didn't earn.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, no, that's the whole gimmick. Like, that's what's pissing people off. That's why people in the crowd are booing him. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that a bad thing that the crowd is booing him?
And I guess it's a little awkward for him to be a heel right now. But they've also done that with, the last couple of Money in the Bank winners who were faces. They'd win, and they slowly turn them heel. So, you know, Punk did it. And then, you know, this one's doing it now. Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I didn't think about the number of people that did change. Yeah. Because, yeah, I think that's when Edge did it, too, you know, way back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, he was a heel, but that really helped him take off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they need to do the old shit or get off the pot with Daniel Bryan. And I hope after Monday that means that they're, you know, taking the shit. Which is an awkward thing to put it that way, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, they do just need to get behind him a little bit better.
Yeah.
And let him win a couple of matches or something.
Yeah. And I think one of the other big things is, with Jericho interrupting, it was absolutely telling that he interrupted almost immediately after Punk did the best in the world thing. Jericho's old catchphrase was what was it? Oh, he always used to say, "I'm the very best wrestler. I'm the best at what I do," or something like that.
Oh,
and now Punk keeps saying how he's the best wrestler in the world. He's the best at this, you know. So there's like that tie-in already. So
right,
yeah. I know we skipped over most of the John Laurinaitis stuff, but it is what it is.
I mean, he has his moments. He isn't completely pissing me off, but it still could be better.
Well, I don't hate it, though. I don't know, man. Some of that stuff, it's the stiffness is just worn off on me. And I guess I avoided using the word rubbed. Him going backstage saying hi to everybody was cracking me up. I was like, what a dumbass. It's the obviousness of his actions that in his character he's totally, you know, oblivious to. He's oblivious to how obvious he is. And if for no other reason, it got William Regal on TV. Not dancing, which was outstanding in itself.
Right. Yeah, no, it's what the? Oh, if they had played his character this weird middle of the road guy, like I guess they wouldn't have ever had this Triple H moment. But I've liked him a lot more when he's kind of been like I guess I'm kind of talking in a bit of a circle here. If they hadn't established him as a heel, he wouldn't have had the edge to say, oh, I'm doing this the last couple of weeks, and not had people thinking, oh, you're going to screw me. You know, like he did with Zack Ryder, like, oh, sorry about that. It was just kind of a dick thing to do. Hello? Hello?
Well, that's funny. My mute button got hit for some reason.
Oh.
Which is fine. You didn't miss anything except me trying to think. So, I have no idea how that happened. I've been sitting in the same position the entire time. So
I'm going to get you a headset that doesn't have a fucking mute button on it.
No, that's probably a bad idea, actually. So, but no, I'm with you on that. The only reason I even brought him up was just to talk about William Regal and how he has, he has twin daughters. Actually, they're conjoined twins, and he keeps them in the attic, which was the most out of the blue, totally unnecessary sort of thing. It made no sense, but it was great. Only made better by the fact that he goes, I've got twin daughters. They're conjoined. And as soon as he says they're conjoined, Laurinaitis goes, yeah, fifth grade is a pretty tough year. So he's not even listening. I mean, that's where the John Laurinaitis thing kind of started making me, come around on him a little bit.
Right.
But, and I would like to think that he's totally, into this, too. Just, playing himself up as a absolute tool. But I don't know. So, what else happened on Raw? Something else happened.
We kind of already went over the... Oh, my gosh. That was kind of the weird, random... Wade Barrett being up in the skybox.
Yeah, I didn't hate that.
It was more just awkward with Josh Matthews being there with him and mm-hmm. Cole feeding him stuff. It's just like, well, why didn't you just have Wade Barrett up there surrounded by some type of an entourage? Like, I don't care. Just rent the local wrestlers like you always do and just have him up there and say that they're his good friends from England. Like, who gives a crap? Like, anyone's going to, they don't need to talk. If you're going to show that he's wealthy and can rent a skybox or something, just go all in and tell him that they came over from London to watch him whoop Randy Orton's ass later in the week or something. Yeah. Like,
see, I think that was another thing. They insist on giving him back his jacket with the rose in it. And he goes, boom, and drops it. You got to make up your mind what you're doing. Because it doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, you just said that if he's rich enough to rent a skybox out, well, then dress like you're rich enough for it,
Yeah, don't dress in your tights when you're in the skybox.
Right, yeah. But I think it's also just a reason for them to use that view of the ring half the time.
It was just weird, and they were standing the whole time. It's like, you have seats up there, right?
Yeah.
Like really, really comfortable ones that you're not like uncomfortably squished together in.
Mm-hmm.
I've sat in those before. They're really nice.
Yeah, or have some bitches up there, just something,
Yeah, he just needed something to kind of snazz up the joint.
Yeah, just something. But if he doesn't want to be bothered with other people, you don't put other people up there. I guess that's another thing. So,
yeah.
We had John Cena attack Kane.
Yep, yes, yeah. We did. Again.
And in the middle of it, break out. We're going to have a party in here, or let's have a party, or very weird.
It was really, I was pretty impressed. Like, I guess I'm still always impressed by his strength because like him toting around those stairs for as long as he did, I'm like, dude, your arms have got to be gassed right now. Like, how are you still whacking him? Because like he only put it down the stairs down like once after hitting him three times. Like he held him up almost the whole time.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, dude. Like where that's a bit of a feat.
Yeah. And I did like Kane running away because I wasn't expecting him to run away. I just figured he'd like do something to be able to get away from Cena. So that was pretty fun.
And I expected Cena to miss with one of those stair shots.
Right.
At some juncture to allow Kane to get away or to get the upper hand again.
Yeah. Just not just running out of the crowd. But I guess that's what bullies do, Kevin. You fight back and they run off something. And I'm trying to think. They had Eve and Beth Phoenix. An excuse for Eve to be beat, you know, and have Kane harass her. An excuse for Beth Phoenix to look really strong because I got to build her up too.
Yep.
Yeah. There was other stuff.
Did not serve its purpose. I mean, you know, the women just go down so easily.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, whatever. Like, again, it's not one of those things where I'm expecting a 15-minute commercial break match in the mid-main event. You know, give them 5 minutes. Like, you know, at least make them look credible in the somewhat credible in the meantime, and then go from there.
Yeah. I guess that's a discussion for another, you know.
Yeah.
Another day.
I'm the sitting here going, there's some other things that that I could mention, but, you know,
yeah,
we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are.
In a way.
But I know it's funny. We're running out of time, and we have an endless amount of time, actually. But we're running out of time to keep people interested. I think that's what you really mean.
Yes, Mr. Picky Grammar Man.
Yeah, there was other stuff on Raw, or other things. Dolph and Randy Orton, it's a fine, whatever. Dolph loses again. It's not yet time. I wouldn't doubt it if he wins Money in the Bank, though. Just to, you know, Dolph.
Oh, yeah, that would be pretty shocking. Like, I would put him at the top of the list for winning Money in the Bank. Yeah.
Then you have Brodus Clay beating Tyler Rex. Tyler Rex actually made it to Raw.
Yeah.
That should have been the biggest news.
The only thing strange about that was, like, he asked what was up to his fans on Twitter, like, after he got to the back. It's like, seriously, dude, you just got your ass handed to you? You can't at least say, wow, I'm still sore, or my ribs are killing me, or anything. Like, I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
You know, just say that you're not in good shape. Don't say, hey, what's up, fans.
And isn't Tyler Rex supposed to be, like, this really mean, like, badass dude? And then he's on his Twitter like, hey, what's up, fans? Hey, everyone. It's like, no, you're supposed to be a badass. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's why he grew the big grizzly beard and everything, so.
But I noticed he had it shaved down for Raw again, so. Yeah, you know, wasn't as bad as it usually was. Or I just don't pay that much attention to Tyler Rex, which is the truth. So I know there's other stuff on Raw we're gonna forget, and tomorrow we'll message each other and go, damn it, we forgot to talk about this, and we forgot to talk about this.
No, I'm looking through my review, and I'm not, you know. There's other stuff that we could probably mention, you know. But whatever, no one's done a Hall of Fame podcast yet or audio yet.
No.
I
think that's coming once they're done announcing everybody. So
yeah, so Iron Mike can be included in that one.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever, Kofi got a somewhat much-needed win to look like he's relevant for the Elimination Chamber. Yeah.
Congratulations, you walked on your hands. And there you go. So,
yep.
It was a cool spot, but who gives a shit if everything else he does is terrible? So, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. I mean, that was really about it. They had a good opening segment, which to me was really, really bizarre. Just that was another one where, I mean, I like that they're going with the change, but it was just weird to see Sheamus, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and John Laurinaitis were the opening segment.
Yeah. Yep.
Just that was it to me, it's a good weird, but it's still weird.
but it goes to what I'm saying, dude. It's this experimental phase. it's they're building. They can build other guys up now and not have to worry about it. And I hope Monday was the first step of that. You know, I think the ratings actually came out. I was looking at that while we were talking, but I lost them already. Hang on, just one second. Let me see if I can find it real fast. But all right, Raw rating. Now, remember, it's also the day after the Royal Rumble, so it'll probably be up anyways. But it did a 3.55. Last week was a 3.18. So I guess next week will really be the telltale of all of it, to see if it maintains, which you would think it would, with The Undertaker coming back, Chris Jericho's explanation for attacking Punk, you know, that sort of thing.
Possibility of Trips still hanging around.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, yep. It's the WrestleMania writing hot phase combined with they've got new talent to work with. And I hope they make the most of it just to try and keep something interesting. Because Eric, real fast, and we'll get out of here, Eric mentioned something that was dead on with Elise. We went to SmackDown. I know Eric went to a house show and brought Carly with him. That was his first mistake, was going to a house show. He should have known better that they weren't going to be entertained. well, there's no production values.
Well, I mean, it's still tough. Just SmackDown is tougher than Raw. Like, I mean, I've done both within the last calendar year, and I've just noticed it just from reviewing, like, all the shows basically on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about adding Ring of Honor. Ugh. What the shit? SmackDown has so much more in the commercial break area.
Right.
And there's so much more sitting around. Even if you're going to the tapings, it's just like, oh, great. Yeah. I get to see a long review of what happened on Raw. Oh, great. Another review of Raw, but it's a shorter segment. It's just like, oh, my God. You know, at least when you go to Raw, yeah, you get some review stuff, but usually it's like in, out. You know, it's maybe a couple of minutes at most. So you're like, oh, okay.
And it's live, so you know you have to react. So it's on a schedule. And, you know, but you're right. I took Elise to the SmackDown taping, and she was like, that was okay. I was like, yeah, well, we're going to go to Raw. It's a super show here coming up in next year sometime. I'll take her to that, see how she likes it better. But that's all I wanted to mention was just, it is hard to get someone into it when you go and it's lackluster.
Yeah.
But also her first event, to be completely honest, well, besides the Hall of Fame, her first wrestling match was WrestleMania 27. Where do you go from there?
That reminds me.
You know?
Well, no, I mean, that just reminds me, Jen, when we were up at Kent. Her first match was it SummerSlam that had Hell in a Cell with Foley and The Undertaker?
No, it was King of the Ring.
King of the Ring.
In Pittsburgh. Yeah.
That was her first pay-per-view. And it's just like, no, you're not going to see anything more ridiculous than this. Like, you're fucked. But I'm hooked now. And it's just like, well, I'm sorry. Like, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I know it was the spot festival and all, but... The entertainment value doesn't get any better than what that match was.
So at least I tried taking Elise to a TV show, but Eric, he clearly doesn't love her. He took her to a house show. So on that note, I'm out of water. I got to do the plug, so let's see if I can get through this. I got to remember the one. So, all right, so first, thanks for joining us again. You guys are a great audience, even though we can't hear you. I started wrong, so I'm going to back up and do it again. You can follow us on Twitter at StuntGranny. I am at Granny Maze. Dusty's at Dusty Giebink. Kevin is at DeFrango11. Eric Nelson is at Eric. I'm a mystery. You need to find me. You can comment on this post in the comment section. You can send us an email at StuntGranny. I'm sorry, got Twitter and Gmail mixed up. StuntGranny@gmail.com. You can also sign up for us on iTunes. This is the one I repeatedly forget and then remember after it's too late. Just search for Stunt Granny Audio Show or just Stunt Granny. It comes up both ways, I think. So try Stunt Granny Audio Show first. It's pretty nice. And they actually do work. I test them every week to make sure, just so I can get on Apple's case, because they're going to listen to us in case something's wrong. So I think that's it for everything. I'm out of here. Oh, don't forget, Sunday mornings usually is a TNA audio show with Dusty Giebink and his special guest, whoever it is. It's been the same person the last few weeks, and I don't know if that's changed or not. So I'm out of here. Have a good night. Have a good day. Have a good morning, whatever you're doing. Bye.
And, yeah, it's time to walk my dogs, then grab some Sippy Time mead tonight because I keep on forgetting to buy beer. Night, grandkids.
How are you doing?
How are you?
How's your son doing?
Daughters. Conjoined twins, actually.
Oh, fifth grade, though. That's a hard year, isn't it?
Keep them locked in the attic, to be honest with you, John.
Really?